Welcome. My name is John Kenny, and I am going to be your instructor for this class with Christian Leaders Institute. And before we get started on all these lectures and all this wonderful teaching from Scripture, I'd like to introduce myself so at least you have a little bit of idea of who I am and how I came about to this place of teaching you about church and ministry revitalization. I have been a local church pastor for about 20 years. That's how long I've been in full-time ministry, and I have served in big churches, and I've served in small churches. I've served in churches that were very contemporary. I've served in churches that are very traditional. I've been a youth pastor, an associate pastor, and a lead pastor. In addition to that, I've also served as a chaplain in the United States Army. And when I did that, I worked with soldiers from all different kinds of backgrounds and denominations. And I mention that just because as we head into this class, I want you to know that there's a broad base that I am coming from that as we talk about revitalization, we're not going to be talking necessarily about a specific theology or denomination or worship style. We're really thinking about the church as a whole very broadly. And so that wherever you are going through this class, that hopefully it will hit you with exactly what you're looking for and exactly what the Lord needs to teach you. Now, as we go through all the different lectures, at different times I will reference certain things that are going on in the American church and sharing some statistics. Now, the reason I do that is because that is my context. That's what I'm most familiar with. However, I realize that a number of you will not be very familiar with some of the things that are going on in the American church. And that's fine. There's no way we're going to address the topic of revitalization or anything and be able to hit everybody exactly where they're at. However, I would say that a lot of the things that go into church ministry decline and stagnation, those kind of things, the principles tend to be universal. They've been seen in different countries and in different times throughout the history of the church. So even though we'll talk, I'll reference some American dynamics, I think wherever you're at, you'll probably get a pretty good connection to what's going on wherever you happen to be. Again, what we're going to be dealing with is really human nature. And churches across the globe and across time tend to battle the same sorts of issues. And that's really what we're going to be addressing. A little bit more about me as we get started. My educational background, I have a Master's of Divinity from Princeton Theological Seminary, and I have a Doctorate of Ministry from Reformed Theological Seminary. And I just share that so that you have a sense of what my my background is, and that I have spent quite a bit of time studying and thinking about this. In fact, my Doctorate of Ministry is in church revitalization. But even more important than that, and the studying and the research, even more important than all the work I've done in the classroom is the education I have had as a pastor and as a ministry leader trying to bring about revitalization to the congregations and the people I serve. And I have learned a lot along the way in the last 20 years, both in success and in what I don't know how to say, disasters or flops. I've learned a lot from both of those things. And so my hope is that I'm going to be able to pass along some of those lessons to you, and that this class is going to be a blessing for you wherever you are, whatever kind of ministry you're leading, that when we get to the end of this, you'll have a whole different idea of where God is leading you and calling you as His man or woman. So before we go any further, we need to pray. We're going to start and end every class with prayer. And for obvious reasons, we need the Lord's help. So wherever you are, let's join together in prayer. Lord Jesus, we come to you and we ask for your blessing on this class. We pray that the words I speak would be helpful, that they would reflect the truth of your word. And Lord, for the students watching and listening, Lord, may they be attentive and may they truly learn, Lord, not just for knowledge, but to see a change, a real change in their ministry. So, Lord, I pray your blessing on them even now as they watch this. Amen. So let's talk a little bit about you and why you are interested in taking this particular class. So there's 36 lectures. You're going to have to do readings. You're going to have to do quizzes. So I'm guessing that there was something about this class that you saw that you said, I would really like to know more about this. So let's talk about that. So let me ask you these. Do you ever feel like ministry is not what it could be? Do you ever feel like your ministry is stalled or declining, or it's stagnant, and there's just this sense of like, I know what it could be, I know what it should be, and it just simply isn't that. Or maybe you feel sometimes like, I've tried all different kinds of things and nothing seems to work. You feel like you've emptied out your bag of tricks, you've read books, you've gone to conferences, whatever it is, you've taken advice from fellow people in ministry, and it just isn't going anywhere. Or maybe you feel like you just can't try any harder. You're working as hard as you can. You're giving your absolute best effort into this, your best ideas. You're wearing yourself out trying to get this ministry to turn around, and it just simply isn't happening. Perhaps you feel like as discontent as you are with it, nobody else seems to be. They're okay with it, and you're trying to lead a group of people that just seem unmotivated or possibly uncaring, and they love the Lord, they have faith in Jesus Christ, but when it comes to really kind of living it out and following Christ and mission, it just seems like it's just flat, and there just isn't any support behind you. Maybe you feel like, kind of related to that, it's impossible to lead, that you are with a group of people, and God love them, God bless them, but they are just, it's like mules, you know, like you can't, and you've run out of carrots, you have run out of sticks, there is nothing to get them to move, and they just are very, very hard to get to adopt any kind of change, to see any kind of progress. And maybe you feel like you need to go somewhere else. Maybe you feel like that because of where your ministry is, you're so discouraged, you're so hopeless, that I just need to pack up my bags and go somewhere else. And it's an accumulation of things, that there's declining attendance and people aren't have fervent prayer lives. They're not reading scripture. You're getting a hard time people to serve. And anytime that you have an idea that you want to lead people in, you're just like banging up against a hard wall. And so maybe you're thinking you need to go somewhere else. And maybe you're even thinking you should do something other than ministry. And if that's where you're at, I want to just tell you to hit the pause button. Those are very, very common feelings. Ministry is an incredibly hard calling, and what you're experiencing is very normal. We'll be talking quite a bit about that. Is what you're going through is quite normal, and I would just encourage you to hang with me through these classes, especially the first few lectures. You're going to hear a lot of really hopeful words and encouragement, and if that's for you, just hang in there. Really, there's a lot of good stuff coming. If you feel like any of these things that are on the screen, I can relate. The church I serve at now, I arrived a little over 12 years ago. The church I serve was founded in 1850. 50. So as of this recording, the church is 169 years old. So you can imagine there's a lot of tradition, there's a lot of culture, there's quite a bit of history in our congregation. And before I had gotten there, there had been about the previous 25 to 30 years incredibly trying. Multiple pastors had left over or just horrible moral situations. The church had split over some property purchases. It was just the church was hemorrhaging. And by the time I had arrived, that the church was less than half the size it was just even 3 or 4 years previously. And I knew coming in that I was going to be taking on a revitalization project. I had no false illusions that this was a growing, healthy, vibrant church, and I just had to jump right in. I knew this was going to be really, really hard work. So let me tell you just a touch about that now, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about it as we go through the lectures. But when I first got there, I had all kinds of ideas about things we can do. Some of the problems that our church was facing were really obvious. It didn't take a rocket scientist or a great theologian to figure out what some of these problems were. And so we started to do some things, and we did some planning, and we did some rearranging, and I did some challenging, and I did some encouraging, and I guess I could say things were okay. I guess being there, I brought a little bit of stability, but in terms of like actual change, not a whole lot. And I was really discouraged by that because I had taken my leaders away for a retreat, and we'd come back and we'd worked for a few months and we came up with this great plan. And then when it came time to actually do something with it, nothing happened. Like, nobody really seemed to care. If you go back to this one, others seemed to be okay with it. It's hard to lead. I brought those up because that was my experience. We would do things like go out and have like evangelistic days or projects or serving, and we'd put a lot of time and effort into it, and we'd get a decent kind of turnout. But then when, after it was done, there was no momentum. As soon as we finished something, we went right back to who we were before. One of the bigger things I tried was starting a new service and thinking, wow, you know, we'll get some new energy and we'll get some new leadership and we'll get new people, and that will really help the congregation. And certainly that's not an original idea. Many, many churches have tried that. And I can say my experience was it was an absolute disaster. That by the time we shut it down, which we did, it was so disconnected and so poorly done that the people in our church were rooting against it. Can you imagine that? The people in your ministry, the people in your church, are rooting against an initiative to do something for the kingdom of God. So if a brother or sister, if you are there right now and you feel like you've got some stumbling blocks of people, I am with you all the way. I know just what that is like, and I know exactly how disheartening and discouraging that can be. Now, the thing that really confused me, and what I look back on that, is I didn't know why I wasn't getting anywhere. I had no idea why we weren't moving forward and getting anywhere, because the ideas I had, they seemed like good ideas. Again, the situation I was dealing with, it was pretty obvious what the problems were. My heart was in the right place. I was praying a lot about it, and yet nothing was happening. And so I became, discouraged, confused, really left scratching my head. But if I'm honest with you, when I look back on that whole experience, my first several years at this congregation, I didn't even really know exactly what kind of change I was trying to bring about. I didn't even know where I was trying to lead the congregation. I mean, I had thoughts of like, well, we want more people, or we want. We had some programs that weren't really done very well, and it was like, well, we could do those much better. We could maybe introduce some new ones. But as I thought about it, those, as well-intentioned as those things are, they seem kind of shallow. And here's what I mean. Because when I thought about kind of the things I was trying to do, it really didn't fit the pattern that Jesus had established in the Gospels. Because I was thinking, as I was trying to get more people to come, I thought, when did Jesus ever say, we need more people to show up at this event? When was Jesus ever about attracting crowds? And actually, Jesus often is dispersing the crowds, and he's trying to spend more time one-on-one. So I kind of felt like, I don't know if I'm real. I mean, I know the Great Commission and all that, and we'll get to that. But this idea of just drawing crowds for the sake of crowds, like, that didn't seem to be like anything Jesus did. And what about programs? Like, Jesus didn't have any programs. He had nothing like that. So I got the sense that what I was trying to do, like, number one, I didn't even know what it exactly was. I didn't really even have a definition for what revitalization meant and what it looked like and how you could get there, and really no idea of what the heck I was supposed to be doing. And so perhaps if you're there today, you can join me where I was starting out and thinking, I am in the deep end of the pool and I don't know how to swim. I am completely overwhelmed, scratching my head. Lord Jesus, please tell me what to do. And I had thought about leaving where I was, the ministry I was at, just because, and I loved the people, I just thought, I don't know if I'm the person to help get them out of this to where they want to be. And yet at the same time, I felt so called by the Lord to go to that church, to love them, to minister to them, and to bring them out of that. It was such a strong conviction I had when I first started, when I received the call to go to that church. So if you're there, dig in your heels, stay where you're at. I couldn't have been any more lost and confused and discouraged than where I had been. So let me tell you about where we're at now. So we are about 7 years into a very, very, very intentional process of revitalization, of trying to turn the church around and to bring life back to it, to bring health and vitality and to really be the church that Christ has called us to be. And that is something that we talk about, we focus on daily. And we've got a bunch of outside help. I did a bunch of studying on it. I've got some wonderful people who've really caught the vision for that. And so we're 7 years down the road. And I can't say, like, we've arrived, we've figured everything out, because I don't think on this side of heaven any church gets there. You never arrive. You never figure it all out. But I will say that together, the congregation and I, we have gone pretty far down the path, certainly a whole lot further down than where we were initially. And the Lord has worked in just the most wonderful ways. And just so grateful to see all the change and the transformation and the positive things that have happened that have really not just changed you know, our hearts, but like just the culture of the church and how we understand our walk with the Lord. So I'll just touch on quickly kind of our goals and my purpose for the class, and they're pretty straightforward. One, my goal is for you to be able to have a ministry that is more productive. And if we want to use the language Jesus does in the Gospel of John, to bear more fruit, to bear a lot of fruit. So for your ministry to do the very things, to accomplish the very things for which Christ has called it into being. Okay? So we want to see change. We want to see things happen. Second, and it's related, to have a stronger and healthier ministry. Really, what I'm talking about here is a more faithful expression of the kingdom of God. What is the church supposed to be? And for you to be able to follow that model, those examples, with obedience and faithfulness, and to see good things happen, things that would make the Lord delight in your church. Now, we'll talk more about this, that doesn't necessarily mean you're growing in size and numbers and you're building additions and second services. The Lord may choose to do that, but there are many, many faithful expressions of churches and ministries that don't experience that. And some of that's very contextual. If you're in a really rural area, you're probably going to be fairly limited size-wise in what you can do in terms of growth. However, you can become a much, much more vibrant and faithful expression of the kingdom of God where you're at. And then finally, one of my goals for you is just for you to have a more joyful experience as being a leader in the church, whatever ministry that you're involved in, that you would take just delight in what you're doing and working with the people, and that you would have a sense of reward and satisfaction in ministry. Because I know what it's like to lead without that. And so if we could help you experience some of this and remember why it is that you heard the call to ministry in the first place, we'll have done a lot of good. And just for us to be joyfully leading our congregations where we love them, we embrace them, and we don't want to ever think of this, and sometimes with revitalization this can be the case. We don't want to think of the congregation versus the pastor. We don't want to think of the people we lead as our adversaries or our enemies, or they're an obstacle we have to climb over. No, they are the bride of Christ, and we are to love them and joyfully serve them. So one of the big goals here is helping us get to that place. So let's talk just for a moment about what we're going to do in the class. What's going to be our approach? How are we going to handle this whole subject of church and ministry revitalization? First and foremost, we are going to be looking to God's Word for instruction. Your Bible, my Bible, it is a revitalization handbook. All that we need to know about bringing life back to God's church is in our Bibles. I want you to think a little bit about Scripture, how it is a revitalization handbook. Think about how both Old and New Testament are filled with stories of God calling His people back to a place of renewal. I mean, we can throw all the prophets into that, right? I mean, the ministry of the prophets is all about taking God's people who have sinned, who have erred, who've strayed, who've been disobedient, and bringing them back into a relationship of obedience and faithfulness and joy and blessing with Him. And we have other stories of people in the Old Testament who've led revitalization. We can think of Ezra when he comes back after the Babylonian exile, and he uses God's Word to bring about revitalization. And in a similar way, prior to the exile of Babylon, the wonderful King Josiah led Judah through a time of renewal and revitalization. And guess what? Again, he uses the Word. And back then, they didn't obviously have the New Testament because it hadn't happened yet. So they were leading revitalization just with Old Testament, law, the Torah. And obviously, God has revealed and done much more since then. So we have a fantastic resource right here in our Scriptures. Well, let's jump to the New Testament for a moment. Let's think about John the Baptist. His ministry was all about renewal, about preparing people to come into a deeper fellowship as Christ appeared in his ministry. We can think of all of Paul's pastoral letters and even some of his epistles, but particularly his pastoral letters were sent to church leaders to help them bring about renewal and revitalization, because he addresses in there, there are some doctrinal issues, there's some practice kind of issues all going on. So we have that. And then finally, we also have Christ's letters to the churches in Revelation. We're going to talk a bit more about that in our next lecture. But all in all, what I want to say is that there's a lot, the Bible has a lot to say about how God calls His people back to Himself, why He does it, and the pros and the cons of all the different ways people have tried to do it. So what we're dealing with is nothing new. It's not unique. It goes all the way back to Scripture. And praise the Lord that He's given us His revealed Word, and we are going to use it to really map out a chart for ourselves. Second, we're going to consider what others have thought and said and done. We're not the first people to try to figure out this whole revitalization and renewal problem. Throughout church history, there have been many people who've thought about it and who've been very successful, we would say, very faithful in how to do that. So we're going to look at some different folks through church history. We're going to look at some people who are doing things now. And we're going to not just talk about theory, but things that have been tested and done and really applied to churches. And then finally, our approach, we're going to start discussing some practical applications, things that I'm going to challenge you to do wherever you're at in ministry, how God can use you to bring renewal. So let's talk about some of those things real quickly. We're going to start off with things like, what is revitalization? Remember, I didn't even know what I was trying to do. So we want to really kind of set the course of what is revitalization and understanding that. We're going to ask the questions, how do you get started? What's the first thing you can do? Or what are some of the first things you can do? We're also going to ask the question, how are you going to need to change as a leader? One of the things I learned early on was that in order for my congregation to change, I needed to change first. I couldn't just point my fingers and say, hey, you're all messed up and you're all doing the wrong things and you should do this. That I needed to change. And I found out that as I changed, my church began to change as well. So we're going to talk about what are the things you need to change? And that's going to take some humility, I promise. We'll talk about how do you lead your congregation through a season of repentance, getting them to own what's going on and how to come before the Lord in a time of confession and turning back. We're going to talk about the difference between church health and church growth. I'm going to try to help you develop an effective model for ministry. You may even not know what that means right now. We'll get to it. But we're going to come up with a plan for you for ministry. We're going to talk about how to expand your leadership base so it's not just you trying to lead, but that you're going to have a lot of partners and friends in ministry who are trying to do the same thing as you. And I think you'll find that when you get that, that's really the tipping point of a healthy, productive ministry, when it's not just you leading, but it's shared and other people are coming alongside. And we'll also discuss some very practical matters in terms of how can you be a more effective organizational leader. I can say that when I was in seminary, I got zero training. And I went to some of the best schools in the world, but I didn't get any training at all on how do you be a good leader? How do you get meetings that go somewhere? How can you disciple other people to become leaders? How do you find them, recruit them? All those sort of things. We'll get to that as our lectures go on. So let me wrap up here. And I want to say I am so glad that you are joining me today. And through these next 35 lectures, I am so glad that you are doing this. And I think that you're going to be so rewarded by doing the Lord's work and bringing life to that which is dying or has died. But let me just say this. I can make one guarantee, and this is probably about the only guarantee I will make, that revitalization will not be easy. It's going to be very hard. If it were easy, you would have done it already. Can we just be honest? If it were really easy, you would have done it already, and so would a lot of other people. But that's not the case. You haven't done it already. And a lot of people don't do it. So it's not easy. My second kind of warning is that there are no silver bullets to making this work. There's no easy five-step program I'm going to lay out for you. We are going to cover some universal principles that are revealed in Scripture, but you're going to have to do some hard work to discern what is the unique application of those principles in your ministry context. So we're not going to be doing copycat kind of work here. You're going to have to work hard to think about what does revitalization look like in your unique location and generation with the people that God has put in front of you in the community in which you're serving. You're going to have to figure that out. And so that's hard. It's not easy. It takes a lot of work, a lot of reflection, and trial and error, to be honest. So through this process, let me just throw out there now, this is like the disclaimer. It's hard. It's slow. There's all kinds of obstacles. It's very humbling. And even when you start to experience renewal and revitalization, it's not going to look most likely the way you imagine it. But I will say this. In 20 years of ministry, there is nothing I have done that has been as fun, as rewarding, as joyful, and as exciting as being a part of revitalization, of seeing God's people come alive and just playing a part in that. Obviously, it's the Lord who's doing the work, but to play a part in that, to see God's beloved bride wake up and stir and become a force for His kingdom, wow, it's an incredible experience. And that is what I wish and I pray for all of you. Now, that may seem like a long shot for where you are right now, and trust me, I get it. It feels like a long shot. But I don't want you to forget this, okay? We are people of the resurrection. God is a God of life. And as we talk about bringing life and new life and renewing life into a congregation, let us not forget that is what the Lord does. Isn't that the whole purpose of the ministry of the Lord? Ever since the Garden of Eden, through the new heavens and the new earth, it's always about restoring life and bringing relationships back into a full full measure with Him. So don't forget this. We are people of the resurrection, and God is at work in you yet. So we're going to close with a word of prayer. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of your blessed Son, Jesus Christ, and we ask that you would make a way for us. We are about to set out, Lord, on a very difficult journey, and yet you call us anyway. And we pray that you would strengthen us, you would let us humbly receive your direction and your leading and your guidance, faithfully trusting, Lord, that you will take us just where we need to be. Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen.